Hello and welcome. My name is Christopher Chandler.
And my name is Chris Schauer. And we are Generally American. In our podcast, we discuss events, culture, whatever else we want from a generally American perspective.
From our differing viewpoints, our goal is that we can offer others and ourselves nuanced opinions on fascinating topics related to the U.S.
We invite you to be part of the discussion, and we hope that you'll stick around to see where the conversation takes us. So let's dive in.
And live.
We are in another week with no countdown. That's great.
Yeah, it is.
I'm glad you always open that way.
Yeah. So, the weather. Because we have to start with the weather. So the weather here has been... Actually, okay, it's slowly starting to feel like spring, but I did hear that we're going to get like some Arctic wind, if I read that correctly. So it's supposed to drop to like below freezing here within like the next couple of days. So I really don't look forward to that. But it's been really cold in the apartment because of it. Not a lot of rain, which I guess is a good thing. So we've had more sunshine. I actually felt like going for a walk today, but I didn't. I have to use the stroller that we got from my wife's aunt to go and, you know, walk with the baby. And I just can't, for the life of me, bring myself to actually get it from the basement and take it upstairs and go for a walk. So, but I'm moving soon. So we'll have a garage and I'll just put it in the garage and I can just, you know, pick it up and go whenever I feel like it. So.
And you can use I'm about to move, I am moving, or I just moved as an excuse to avoid things for a long time.
Yeah, I've been kind of using that for a while. For like a lot of things. Like my beard is really out of control. And so is like the rest of my hair. My hairdo is just crazy. And I'm like, yeah, or the apartment isn't. So my current apartment isn't as clean as it should be. But it's like, you know, well, I'm moving soon, so it's okay.
Everything out of there.
Yeah, so it's a bit unorganized. And I'm really looking forward to just throwing stuff away. I really am, just throwing away old papers.
Don't be afraid to do it either.
I did it actually during Christmas break when we were off. I sold like 4 or 5 things. I made a couple $100, so I was actually pretty happy about that. And I threw away a lot of... I don't know if it's trash, but, you know, it was trash to me. So I could have sold it. I didn't want to, so I threw it away. But, yeah, so that's the weekly weather report here. What about where you are?
Well, real quick, I'll say I've moved 4 times in the last 10 years. And this last time, there are things I moved all 4 times that I'm like, all right, I'm finally throwing this away. There were things I packed and I unpacked here, and I'm like, why did I bring this? And then I threw it away. But no, weather here, it's finally starting to transition into spring. We've had, aside from like probably the harshest week of winter I've ever seen in my life, it's been a very mild winter here. So it's going to be a brutal summer with wildfires because it's just going to be so dry here. But I went for like, my Fitbit says I walked about 5-some miles in walks yesterday. So that was good. Part of what the good weather is bringing is I could hear some children outside earlier. So if you hear a bouncing ball or some kids, that's why.
I didn't know kids still played outside. I just assumed everyone was inside.
Yeah, they play in like our parking lot here, which there's really nowhere else to go. So I can't really blame them. That was a scream. But no, other than that, like, it's been great. It's always super windy here. It's not as big of a deal in the summer, but it's been great to finally be able to go out and walk. Although daylight savings, which just triggered the U.S. today, plus having walked 5-some miles yesterday out of shape, it was really hard to get up today. It was really hard.
Daylight savings time is supposed to be in 2 weeks here, so I'm not really looking forward to that. I never really understood the benefit of that. Most states in the U.S. do say like the daylight savings time, but I think there's one state that doesn't, or two. I believe Arizona is one of them.
Yeah, but it's not the entire state. There's little pockets of it that do or don't.
Really?
Which I actually, you know what? And I need to make sure I have that hammered out because I do some things in Arizona for work. So I always need to make sure I know what, because, you know, an hour is a big difference. If someone tells you to send something at 10 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
you know, an hour early or an hour late, you know, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's why I enjoy, you know, having an hour more of sleep. But that'll be in the fall. I just double checked. So it actually, you're right. So it's Arizona with the exception of the Navajo Nation, which I didn't know that, and Hawaii. So in Hawaii, they don't do it, apparently.
Well, I'm glad I don't have to play around with Hawaii.
Well, I'd love to go to Hawaii.
I'd love to go there, but I don't do any work in Hawaii, which it would be cool, but I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so that is, you know, the bi-weekly, bi-national weather report. So what are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about a topic you suggested, I think, mostly to torment me, which is fast food. I say torment because I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago I decided to start losing weight again.
Uh-huh.
So not that fast food is anything special, but... Well, Taco Bell is always going to be a problem.
So, like, when people talk about the U.S., I think there are three things. Well, I mean, there are obviously more, but I think there are, in my mind, there are three main things that people like to bring up, which is, like, the weather, which is why we always start off with the weather, especially, like, with hurricanes and tornadoes, where I'm from. So, like, from, like, the Midwest, there are a lot of tornadoes, so that's not really a big deal to me. Another one is guns. So people always like to talk about guns when they talk about the United States. That's very popular. And food. And usually it's very positive or very negative. And the center of all that would be fast food. So I was like, you know, we'll start with fast food.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that once you hit a certain age, it just feels like a reality of life. Like when I went to high school, so, you know, I'm 14. I got $4 a day from my dad for lunch. And high school was, you know, within maybe a 5-6 minute walk of a pretty major street here in town with, like, mm-hmm. let's see, there was McDonald's, KFC, Little Caesars. There was a Subway and a gas station across the street, Taco Bell. There was not really fast food, but, you know, like, it was a place called Mongolian Grill. It was one of those places you get, like, your freeze-dried ingredients, and then they put it on a steaming hot flat top with all the sauces and stuff and make you, like, a stir-fry.
I don't know if that counts as fast food, though.
It doesn't, but it was fast, and people loved it. So that's, unless I'm forgetting something, like, that's what we had.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, every day at lunchtime, you just see a mass exodus of teenagers head to all these different fast food places. And it's still like that today. I live pretty nearby, so you always have to think, do I really want to go over anywhere in the two-hour block where the high school has their two lunches?
Mm.
But it was just the reality of life. So I would have... I still remember Little Caesars had a... like a big slice of pizza and a large soda for like $3.25. So I could profit 75 cents a day if I ate there. Or McDonald's would have like their dollar menu. So I could get like two McChickens and a soda for like $3, profit a dollar. Taco Bell always, I can't remember what I used to get, but there was always something cheap there. But yeah, so I just, as a teenager, I basically ate fast food 5 days a week.
I mean, it was just normal. I did the same thing. And I remember at our high school, a lot of the seniors were allowed to leave during lunch and would actually go to like the local Domino's and like buy pizza or whatever, or go to McDonald's. That I think it's kind of different because it used to be kind of like a treat back then. In general, I think fast food was a treat, especially when I was growing up. It was always, well, like, let's go to McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. And it was like a treat, you know, like, because our parents wanted to do something nice for us. And as you said, now it's just kind of like a way of life. I guess it supplements a lot of a lot of cooking for a lot of people, for better or for worse. I don't really knock on fast food, though, because I think for a lot of people, and I know a lot of people where this is the case, that's usually all they can afford. You know, unfortunately, that's all they can really afford. So it does help people, especially in like food deserts. I don't know if you've heard that term before.
Is that like it's like a small town that has like there's like a hotel, a casino, and a McDonald's and a gas station, and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like a food desert is pretty much just that. Is there's no way to buy like freshly sourced or like organic food, and so you're kind of just forced to buy food at like a 7-Eleven or go to McDonald's or whatnot. I read an article the other day, which is kind of the inspiration for, I guess, this episode's topic, which was saying, and I can't remember which city it was. I should have saved the article. But in one city in the United States, I think a Big Mac is like $12 or $13 or $14, and which is outrageously expensive. And so now the question is because fast food is slowly becoming more and more expensive. And so the question is it becoming like a luxury item, you know, for people who can afford it? And I think the article stated, anyone who earns below, I think, $45,000 a year shouldn't eat out because fast food is that expensive. Whether or not that's true as like a blanket statement, I wouldn't say that. I think it's definitely gotten a lot more expensive. Every time I go back to the U.S., I'm always just kind of shocked about how much money you can actually spend when you go out to eat.
Oh, absolutely. I have had moments. So I'm trying to basically right now cook everything. But up until pretty recently, I was having a lot of fast food. And if you're not smart about how and where you order, you might as well just go to a nice sit-down restaurant. It's about the same. I mean, so if you order like Big Macs, Whoppers, like the you know, the big name, stuff like that, and get combo meals and stuff, you're looking at like $15 or more dollars for like one person, which is insane.
Yeah, and those are comparable to the prices you pay here. So, you know, I've been here for what feels like an eternity, but I've been here since 2011. And when I first came here, fast food in the U.S. was, I would say, relatively cheap compared to the U.S. or compared to Germany, sorry. And like what you would pay for one, like a family, you know, a family of three, for example, in the U.S. is what you would pay for pretty much like one or two people here at McDonald's. And so like my wife and I would never go out to eat at like a fast food restaurant because it's so expensive. And now it's even worse. We went, cause we were at the consulate 2 weeks ago. So we went to a McDonald's, and they had like the vegetarian options. Cause now they're using like, you know, vegetarian chicken nuggets and whatnot. It wasn't very good. And so it was an instant regret. And then like a reminder of why we don't like going to fast food restaurants.
Are fast food apps like a thing that people do over there?
Yeah. Like the other day I saw a McDonald's taxi. I was like, oh, they're delivering now. So like I'm pretty sure you can do this in some parts of the U.S., but at least for Europe, this is a new thing like within the past couple of years where you can order. Obviously, you can order Domino's because we have Domino's and Pizza Hut over here. And they have the apps, like they have their own apps. And you can also order McDonald's and Burger King through their own apps or through like, what's the American equivalent? Like, I think like Grubhub is what it's called.
Uber Eats or DoorDash, yeah, Grubhub.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. So you can order either through those platforms or through the company's own apps.
Okay.
Which I was super, you know, as a kid, it was like, oh, that would be so cool if you could like order McDonald's over the phone. Because obviously you can do it with like, you know, Chinese and pizza at, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, but not with McDonald's. That would have been cool. Now I don't really care, but but as a kid I would have loved that.
So, and I assume they do the same reward system. So like when I was doing a bunch here recently, so every fast food place, they have their own app, you sign up. And then the more you order, the more rewards you get. You get a bunch of free food. Yeah, honestly, it's like such a good way, like, you shouldn't be eating this much fast food, but it's a good way to see, like, look at all the, because when you're in a drive-thru, like, you can't really sit there and take forever to order just out of courtesy for the person waiting on you at the window and the people behind you. But if you have time on the app, you're like, oh, what are the daily deals? What are this? What are that? Oh, I get, I have this for free I can redeem. It's kind of that Wendy's was the best about that, because it's like every Wednesday, get free chicken nuggets with whatever you order. And every this day, get a 1 cent soda. And every, and I don't know if they advertised them over there, but they were doing these really cheap meals. I think they were like Biggie Meals or Biggie Deals or something. Like meals as cheap as $5. You got like a sandwich, fries, nuggets, and a drink.
Yeah, they do that here too. Granted, we don't really have like cable TV anymore. I haven't had cable TV in like 7 years. So that's where I would say the bulk of the advertising is for really anything in Europe. But because we do a lot over like Netflix and like YouTube and Amazon, we still get like a lot of the apps. And they do like reward systems. But the biggest point for a lot of the companies nowadays is like the whole like vegan vegetarian thing. I know that's like globally, I would say, on the rise, like being vegetarian or vegan, or at like a bare minimum being more health conscious, which means eating less meat. By the way, that's not like a judgmental statement towards anyone. That's just like a general fact here. And so a lot of these companies are just really trying to bring in new customers with like these vegetarian options. And so that's where most of their advertising goes. Not so much point, like we have point systems for everything here, really. But I would say that's definitely more of an American thing, like getting points back for really anything, like with credit cards, for example.
Yeah. Well, it gets silly to a point. Like the Taco Bell app, it was getting to the point where like every two or three visits I got free food.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. But before I forget, speaking of the Wendy's app, did you hear the story about what they're looking to do?
Oh, yeah, with the dynamic pricing?
Yeah. Yeah. Which, it's funny because they're like the last reasonable. I mean, you can go to Taco Bell and order pretty cheap, but you have to like piecemeal it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get one of these, and you're ordering all of the value menu. Wendy's felt like the last place you could go, I'm going to have a meal and it's going to be relatively cheap. I'm going to order one thing. That's it. Easy. And I wonder if, because I would go there, you know, a few times, and there was always, you know, there was always people there. So I wonder if it's one of those things where they're basically making no money from how cheap their meals were. And I think it was like the CEO or president or something who had like a response to the story. He basically said, oh, we're not going to make things more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to make things cheaper when it's slower. But most people don't trust that because like we don't have like good price protection in the US at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I learned way too late in life. But, you know, like I'm pretty sure in Europe it's illegal to just take something that costs $100 and then mark it up to $150 and then put it on a 50% sale and be like 50, or, you know, that's not the right number, but X percent sale, it's $100 when that's just what it is to begin with, and just leave it that way. We don't really have any consumer protection of that nature here, so nobody trusts them to actually, you know, use the system in good faith.
But I will add, I don't think, and I double check this real quick, I don't think they're actually going to implement the quote unquote surge pricing or dynamic pricing, as they call it. They really backpedaled on that pretty quickly. But you are correct. I think in general, like a lot of the laws here are a lot harsher, which is, I don't know if you remember this, and probably a lot of people don't. In terms of the internet, this is like forever ago, but I think like 4 or 5 years ago, when the European Union decided to change up like the data protection laws, it blocked a lot of the US websites. So for like 2 or 3 weeks, I couldn't access a lot of sites from the US because of the way the US and like the US government handles data. So a lot of them were just blocked flat out here. hasn't been a problem since then, but for like the first 3 weeks of like the new year, you couldn't do anything.
Surprise me at all.
I mean, it didn't surprise me at all either. or like a more modern example was the new Cybertruck from Tesla. Can't be sold in the European Union at all because of the way it's built. has nothing to do with fast food, just has to do with the fact of, you know, how Europe and the U.S. deal, I guess, with consumers, so to speak. Mm. But,
you know, it's funny, speaking of data and fast food. So we had, I don't know if you've ever heard of this place, you probably have. Have you heard of Dave's Hot Chicken?
No, I haven't heard of that.
So it's basically what it says. All this place does is like chicken strips.
Oh, okay.
And like chicken sandwiches, and you can get like them plain or basically on a sandwich, and they have like 8 or so levels of heat. And we got one here relatively recently, and was going to hang out with some friends Thursday. I picked up a friend early, and we were going to get some food, and I was like, oh, let's go try Dave's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like sitting in his driveway while I'm picking him up, like downloading the app, and he's like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to get set up on their app and, you know, order ahead. That way I know exactly what I'm getting and, you know, certain rewards. Like, is that really worth selling your data for? Because that's what, because I mean, aside from, you know, you're basically signing up for loyalty programs with all these fast food restaurants. So it's like a sunk cost fallacy that a lot of people keep coming back for. So that's one of the benefits for them. And two, yeah, they do sell all your data.
Of course they sell your data.
And I won't lie, I felt a little ashamed, but I was also like, I'm so far gone. Like, I got the Taco Bell app. I got the Wendy's app. I never use it, but I have the McDonald's app. I have the Subway app. Like, I'm a lost cause at this point, and I feel bad about it. But it's just, it's so convenient. You save so much money in the long run if you're going to eat at them. And it's nice to be able to go up to a window with Taco Bell and just say, hey, I'm picking up for Chris. I don't need to order. I want this, but no that. And I want one of those, but light on this. Like, you can just put all the annoying things, all the annoying mods you want in the order. Which, by the way, if you do get silly with it, they do hate that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to fault anyone for that. I don't think there's any harm in necessarily wanting to order things in advance. But, I mean, it is definitely true. I would say that is the biggest weak point for a lot of Americans is convenience. So if you can do anything and make it more convenient, people will just flock to that model. Even if it costs a little bit more, if it's more convenient, we'll do it. I know plenty of people who would drive to their mailbox, even if it's only like 50 feet away from the house. just because it's more convenient to be in your car and just drive to the mailbox. And I get that. So like, for example, here at the moment, honestly, I don't because I have my daughter and I work from home, but when I had more free time, I would do a lot of walking. So I'd walk like, I don't know, like a mile or two to like the grocery store. Just cause like, you know, I enjoyed walking there. And then the question from my parents is like, well, why? Like, don't you have a car? I was like, well, yes, I have a car. Well, then why don't you just drive? It's like, why would I? You know, it's not that far. I'll just walk. So the convenience factor, I think, really plays into a lot of fast food things.
Yeah. That's at the risk of getting off topic. That is a big thing here. If you decide to walk to an errand, just half for the sake of a walk and half for the sake of the errand, people will look at you like
you're Yeah.
Although the one time I did that in relative recent memory, it was like a 45 minute walk to a Target, and it started raining about 10 minutes into the walk, and it rained really hard. And by the time I got back, I had to like completely strip at the front door because I was like soaked to the bone. So not the best example, but
yeah. So that's definitely, I think, more of a thing here. It should be said though that we pretty much have everything that the U.S. has. So in terms of like fast food, like obviously there are a lot more like niche things, like a lot like a newer fast food restaurants that you might not find over here. But like all the big players are here, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, KFC, Pizza Hut, Domino's, what's the other one called? Five Guys in the Burger or something, I think is the name.
Oh, it's just Five Guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so they have that here too. That's pretty recent. Their fries, I think, are salty as hell. But
oh, I love Five Guys fries. Their Cajun fries are so good.
Yeah. I mean, at least here they're a bit salty. So we have pretty much everything the U.S. has. But we have different supply chains, which a lot of people don't know.
Oh, and yeah, so, I'm sure things taste way different.
They're very different. And so there was this this like pink slime scandal a couple of years back with McDonald's. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, it rings a bell.
So there are a couple of videos making the rounds on like YouTube and Facebook and whatnot about McDonald's adding some kind of like pink slime substance to their like meat. And you were eating that meat and people were grossed out. And so a lot of people started boycotting McDonald's food. And that kind of spilled over to Europe, especially Germany, because a lot of Germans were watching these videos and thinking, oh my God, it's so disgusting. I'm not going to eat that. And the German department or like the German side of things had to say like, well, like relax. Like we don't use the same distributors. Like the US has theirs. We have ours. So it's completely separate. Like it has nothing to do with that.
And as someone like I didn't work fast food, but I worked, you know, I worked at a Red Robin, as I've said before. And the reality is for most like not just fast food, but most American chain restaurants, the majority of what you get comes in frozen. And some of it is like you're getting from specifically the distribution network of the franchise you're a part of. But some of it is just like there's two or three major food distributors in the U.S. And if you order onion rings from them, it's going to be the same at one restaurant as it is at the next, as is the next, as is the next. So like that's a big deal. And you can kind of tell like, oh, we're having Sysco onion rings today and we're having Sysco mozzarella sticks. And I don't want to say it's kind of a depressing thought, but it does kind of, I don't know, ruin the magic, I guess, for some places.
I mean, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is standardized. So, yeah. And I think that was actually the biggest selling point of McDonald's, which is no matter where you go, at least within the U.S., it'll always be like the same experience. I do find McDonald's very interesting, very creative, because it adapts to the country. So you can go to like McDonald's in I think almost every country in the world except for like North Korea. So like there are McDonald's everywhere. And it's always different because they have to adapt to local tastes. I remember this rumor. I don't actually know if it's true or not, to be honest. I haven't really looked at it that hard. Where people talk about how you could buy beer at McDonald's in Germany.
I was going to say, that sounds super German.
Yeah, I don't know if it's actually true. I don't think it's true. I've never actually tried to order beer from McDonald's, and I've never really looked at the menu that hard. It might be true at one or two McDonald's, but the fact that that might even be remotely possible was super interesting to a lot of my friends. The fact that you could go to McDonald's and order beer.
I think you owe us a field report.
You have to go back and check.
Well, and if you're ever at one that serves beer, you're... Journalistic integrity says you have to try it and tell us how it is.
But yeah, so I think the nature of fast food has also changed. I'm pretty sure you remember how they used to look in the 90s, the McDonald's.
I think it's very nostalgic to us because there's like, you know, growing up, you know, they don't remodel them every decade, but close. So, you know, those 90s color schemes stuck around for a while. And I'm guessing we both have pretty strong memories of those loud 90s colors.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely remember that. And now they're all like brown and gray, pretty colorless, I would say. I guess it really doesn't matter to a lot of people if they didn't really grow up with that. But it's, like I said, for both of us, that was really the magic. Is going to like this wonderful place, you know, it was so playful, so full of color, so vibrant. And you just had a good time. I know that you could have like birthday parties at like the McDonald's. Like you could arrange parties there. I'm sure you could still do that. I don't know why you would though.
Oh, and I don't know about for you, but there's like a few famous locations, not like locally famous locations in my area. Like, the Burger King, like on the south side of town here, had like a huge playroom, like one of those play sets where you could go up like 2 or 3 levels. So it so when I was a kid in daycare, it was like on special occasions we got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this is like a big deal. Like we're going to have Burger King, and then we're going to play, get Burger King and go play some more. It's like an amazing day.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely remember that. I definitely know of a couple places where they still have that in Missouri from where I'm from. So I definitely remember all that. But like I said, that's not really like the most important selling point for a lot of fast food restaurants, I would say, anymore. I would say at the very beginning, it was really family oriented, and McDonald's was the biggest player in this. I know you had this like Burger King's and like other places, but the idea is you had like two options. You could eat your food really quickly, or you could go there and have fun with the family. You know, those were like kind of like the two things you had. And I think the whole like family fun isn't really that important anymore. I think it's just getting your food and getting out, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, it's not that fast anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
part of it's due to staffing.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that's been an issue in the US for a while for like reasons we've talked about before, but I've passed Taco Bell. Like I remember one instance where I was driving home from like a movie or something and I passed a Taco Bell and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get something small, just a little snack. It just sounds good right now. And I sat, and this has happened multiple times at this location. I sat there like 45 minutes and there were only like 4 cars ahead of me.
Yeah. I think the worst part about fast food is that the employees there have no like respect, basically. Like they get no respect is what I mean. And it's really looked down upon in American society if you work in fast food. I know that it's kind of changing for the most part, but I would say the majority of Americans don't really see fast food as being something like respectable, like respectable employment. So, I mean, you know this, but they've been fighting for higher wages for God knows how long. And there's this whole like $15 movement, you know, that they want like $15, $20 per hour. And a lot of people are like, that's ludicrous. Like all you do is like flip burgers, you know, and serve fries. Like, why would we pay $15 for that?
Oh, that's hard work.
But it's work at the end of the day. So that doesn't really matter whether it's hard or not. It's still work. And the company profits off that. So should the employees. But that's kind of like beside the point. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's really hard to get fast food fast, so to speak, because no one wants to work there. I mean, I worked at a McDonald's when I was a teenager, and I hated every second of it. But I think that's for a lot of Americans, I think that's one of their first jobs is fast food.
Yeah. And you know, I respect them. Like, mm-hmm. I respect the profession because, you know, again, I haven't worked strictly fast food, but I've cooked in, I don't think it's strictly fast casual, but at Red Robin, they want you to crank out food as fast as possible because they want to flip those tables to make more money. It does, like, on a professional level, kind of, you know, offend me when I'm sitting in line for 45 minutes and there's 4 cars ahead of me. Mostly because it's like, how are you taking this long? As professionals, how, like, Taco Bell food's not that expensive, or it's not that complicated. Taco Bell's kind of infamous for there's a very small amount of ingredients and all the menu items are just, you know, you mix them slightly differently.
Yeah. I mean, Taco Bell, I used to love going to Taco Bell. They don't have Taco Bell here in Germany. So if you really want to go to Taco Bell, you have to go across the border to the Netherlands. I haven't done that yet. Yeah, actually it is. But I mean, I don't really miss it all that much. We do have Subway. So, I mean, there's that.
Subway's everywhere. I believe that. There's more Subways in the U.S. than there is McDonald's.
Is there really? I didn't know that.
It beats Starbucks and McDonald's.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, given the controversy, which we won't, you know, talk about here, but, you know, Google, you know, mascot controversy and you'll find it. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of infuriating when they take so long to get your food done. The same as, I guess, could be said for here too. But at the end of the day, you know, they're understaffed and overworked. So I get why they're so slow, depending on the location. I just wish that, you know, they got the respect that they deserve. Because at the end of the day...
And they deserve it.
Yeah, of course they deserve it. I mean, they're doing a job, so they deserve respect and money as anyone else. But it's unfortunate within the context of, like, American society that they don't really have that prestige or respect. It's a bit different over here. There isn't, like, the stigma of working in fast food where, like, if you work in fast food, you're a failure. And I think there's still that stigma in the U.S. So if you're working at any fast food, it doesn't really matter where, then people kind of think, like, oh, this person failed in life, which I wouldn't say that is true as, like, a blanket statement. It might be true for, like, an individual, but I wouldn't say it's true across the board. But the stigma doesn't exist over here. So it's a lot easier to, like, work in that kind of industry and feel okay with your job, I would say. I still wouldn't do it just because I hate working with food. I'm a terrible cook and I burn everything. But
part that bothered me. It's all the cleaning, which I don't have a problem with it. It's just, you know, it's annoying. It's dirty. You go home at the end of the day. You smell like grease and you're sore. And
yeah. Yeah, I still remember that. I only worked at McDonald's for, like, I think, like, 2 or 3 months. But I still remember all of that. Burning myself, like, smelling like French fries.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible. And then I worked at a restaurant, too, at a Red Lobster. Same thing.
So I had a scar on my arm, which I thought was going to be permanent, but it ended up going away after a few years. So I was working the station at Red Robin, which is responsible for fries.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot more. There's a lot more to that station than just fries, but you know, the whole gimmick at Red Robin is bottomless fries. So we make a lot of fries. Oh, and fries goes out with basically every meal on top of that. So when you're busy, like, you have to, like, if you aren't, like, full bore cooking fries, like, you're messing up. And I can't remember how, but I dipped fries in the fryer a certain way, and mm-hmm. I got absolutely splashed with hot oil on my arm. And my arm, like, bubbled and like, if you ever see bad burns where your arm, like, bubbles up,
yeah.
like your skin is going into, like, panic mode to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stop and treat it. Like, I just, you know, took it, you know, went, and just kept going, which, you know, in hindsight was stupid, but I was like, we were going, you know, we're in it. So I don't miss having to do that at all. It's like everything is so dramatic. And then you're like, you know, after tonight, nobody's going to care about this.
Yeah. I mean, I that's happened to me too. I mean, I have my fair share of burns and scars from working in, like, fast food. So I get all of that. And I guess that's one of the reasons why I respect, you know, people who work in the food industry so much. This whole, like, lack of respect, though, I think that is true across the board for a lot of, like, food-related industries. If it's not, like, high-end, then there's really not, like, a lot of respect. You know,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, for example, like, you know, the biggest ones being, like, waiters and waitresses, you know, about them not getting tips and whatnot. Trying to make ends meet.
Oh, they do okay. They do a lot better than cooks.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they do in terms of pay, probably. But in terms of respect, maybe not so much. But I guess it kind of
that's the trade-off. They make, like, double what cooks make, and that's the trade-off. Mm. I'm sorry. I have a very hard time feeling like I will always be respectful to servers. I will always tip 20%. I will always stack up my plates. But And I feel bad when people, like, are awful to them, but, like, that's why you get paid, like, double. Like, that's the trade-off.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And then we can get into, like, the whole tipping culture, But that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
You can go on and on about that.
But one thing I want to say before we forget, it's interesting. So fast food, working fast food is considered like bottom of the totem pole kind of
work. Yeah, pretty much.
When you, at least here, when you drive around, and this was bad, this is especially when the, when everyone was understaffed, when everyone was trying to get more pay, you would see on all their signs, hiring at this, hiring at that, hiring at this. And some of them will even say, you know, we have benefits, blah, blah, blah. McDonald's has famously always had, I don't know how good they are, but they've always famously had some kind of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Taco Bell's always had like a college fund for employees. Like, you get stuff for working at some of these places outside of your pay. Most restaurants, you get your pay and that's it. You don't get any paid time off. You don't get any benefits. You don't get anything. So there's like the more respectable quote unquote positions of working at like normal restaurants, you benefit way less.
Yeah, that is true. And a lot of these fast food restaurants, you can kind of work your way up. I mean, I've seen plenty of people who start off as like, you know, like a cook and they work up to like a manager. Now, whether or not the pay is there, because I know sometimes they'll move you to like different positions to give you more responsibility and not necessarily more money, or if the money you give you is not as comparable as it could be to like another position, for example. But I know there are plenty of people who work their way up in like McDonald's, Wendy's, or whatever, or what have you. But I'm pretty sure
at the end of the day, they're corporations. Like,
I mean, yeah, that's true.
You can work your way up a corporation.
I mean, you can work your way up to like own one of them. But I mean, if you want to actually own like a fast food restaurant, you're going to pay a lot of money. I think McDonald's is like $1 million, like starting off basically to like have your own franchise.
There's a local politician, or he was a local politician here. His name is Denny Reberg. He used to be our congressman. He owns a handful of fast food restaurants in Billings, and they were all considered the worst ones. Like, he had a Burger King, which no longer exists, which was like infamous for just being horrible.
Horrible in terms of like not clean or like
the, like just the food quality.
Oh. Huh. I mean that's actually another thing. I don't know why we didn't talk about this, but I don't know if the quality is always there like with fast food. I don't think people actually go to fast food restaurants because the food is good. I think they go there because it's convenient.
It's convenient and it's consistent.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's very poignant. It is convenient and it's consistent. So that was, I think, one of the biggest selling points for McDonald's is, as I said earlier, no matter where you go, it's always going to be the same, which is good.
That's key for any national chain or anything like that. That's priority number one. So the idea is like you want people to say McDonald's sounds good, not like a burger sounds good. You specifically want the McDonald's flavor. So it needs to taste the same in Portland, Maine, as it does in Portland, Oregon, as it does in Miami, as it does in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
Like, that's really important. And that was something, again, they hammered to us at Red Robin. They have a special seasoning blend they put on like 95% of their food that I'm convinced is part of that reason. So whether you know it or not, you're like, oh, Red Robin sounds good. I wonder why that is. When in reality, they just have a really good seasoning blend that, again, they put on everything. Burgers, fries, like chicken patties on salad, like it goes on everything.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if I've ever been to a Red Robin.
It's fine.
I don't know if there are a lot of them where I'm from. What I didn't know is that like some like fast food restaurants are just like regional. So I'll talk to other people from like different states and like, yeah, I went to this fast food restaurant, and they're just kind of taken aback to realize that I've never heard of it, and come to find it's only in like, I don't know, like the East Coast, or only on the West Coast, or only in the North.
It's a big deal too.
Yeah.
Like, people love like In-N-Out. So we don't have In-N-Out here.
Oh, okay.
And apparently something that obviously In-N-Out, it's not a franchise. They own every restaurant. And part of their gimmick is they don't have freezers, so they have to control their distribution. Everything has to come in fresh. That's really difficult.
Oh, wow.
So part of that limits their expansion. So it was actually a pretty... I saw a story on my timeline the other day that Washington is getting their Washington State is getting their first In-N-Out. And that's a big deal because normally they kind of stay around like a certain radius around Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Like the closest one to me is in Salt Lake City.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So if I'm ever in Salt Lake, if I'm ever in Vegas, I'm getting In-N-Out. It's happening. I have to because it's that good. And I can't have it any other time.
Yeah, I don't think we have that here, though. But, I mean, there are so many fast food chains. I mean, we could probably go on for, like... We could just do a whole podcast about fast food and never be done with it.
Oh, we could. And there's, like... What's fun is there's, like... we were passing through Wyoming on the way back from Salt Lake once. Mm-hmm. And I can't even remember what it was called. Like, Arctic Circle, I think? Maybe?
Okay.
But there was this little fast food restaurant. And... I guess there's like, it is a chain. There's a handful of them, but they're like only in like Utah and Wyoming and areas like that. And I was like, that's so weird.
I always thought it was really weird to have fast food chains local. I assumed that once you have a fast food chain, it's available throughout the whole of the US, which is not true. So you only think of like the big players that we've mentioned today, and all the other ones are just kind of like local chains. But yeah, so we're coming to a close. There are so many other things I wish we would have talked about, but I think that's enough for one episode. I don't know if you have anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here.
Just real quick, I want to circle back to that dynamic pricing thing we were talking about.
Okay.
One, I would implore everyone listening to, if someplace does that, please don't support it. Because I'm just imagining a nightmare of one company adopts it, they profit from it, so everybody follows. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a fast food rate stock market. And then every day when you go out, you have to be like, oh, I need to check the rates today. Who's got the prices down today? Oh, Taco Bell is projected to be 5% cheaper at lunch today. So I guess that's what I'm having.
Mm.
Oh my God. I so don't want that to be reality. Please don't let that happen.
No, I don't want that either. Yeah. We don't have that here. But you know, maybe in our listeners' countries, maybe that's already a thing. Who knows? Hopefully not. Anywho, thanks so much, everyone, for listening. It was a super interesting episode. Unfortunately, we couldn't, you know, pack everything in.
Yeah, I feel like I could keep going.
We could keep going forever and ever, but, you know, all good things must come to an end. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you all in the next one.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. We hope that it was informative and that we were able to expand your worldview, even if only just a little.
Welcome feedback, comments, and constructive criticism. If you'd like to provide us with any, please reach out to us at our Discord or email address, both of which will be listed in the description.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time.